And I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be gathered in this way with you all. And I just want to say amen to the words that were already shared this morning. Thank you for that, John. Those words go along very well with what I'd like to share this morning. This morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read verses 13 and 14. Then maybe after that we'll have a short word of prayer. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful once again to bow in your presence and to worship you. We just pray that your Spirit would come and move in our midst, Lord. We pray that you would quicken these words to each and every one of us, Lord, that we would understand what all this means. We pray that you would give me utterance, Lord, so that I could speak what you want me to speak, Lord. Thank you for this time. We just commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to talk about the narrow way that leads unto life. I'd like to talk about the straight gate. And point A is, underneath that is, have I entered in at the straight gate? Point B, have you counted the cost of entering the straight gate? Point C, have you counted the cost of not entering the straight gate? And then I'd also like to look at the narrow way briefly. Point A is the way narrow for you, or have you broadened it? Point B is, what all are you trying to take with you on the narrow way? And point C, are you willing to endure the chastening of the Lord? And then point D, are you growing cold or drawing back from the narrow way? So let's start back at the straight gate. Strait is narrow or strict, a narrow waterway connecting two large bodies of water. Difficulty, distress. The word strive is to make great efforts. Try very hard, to struggle. This gives the picture of struggling with great effort to enter in at the straight gate. How am I doing? Am I striving to enter in at the straight gate? We'll look at point number A. Have I entered in at the straight gate? If not, why not? What is hindering me from entering? Is it sin? My flesh? Lust? Love for the world? 1 John verses 2:15-17. Says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So in order to do the will of God, like it says here, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We must enter in at the straight gate. And it's straight, it's narrow, we must enter there though. There's no other way. There's no other way to please the Lord. If there is anyone that hasn't entered in at the straight gate, I implore and urge you to do so. Hebrews 3:7-15. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they do not, and they have not known my ways. So I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So my heart is just to, as it says there, but exhort one another daily. My heart is to do that today, just to have an exhortation today that we don't harden our hearts through the deceitfulness of sin, as it talks about here, and that we're steadfast unto the end. My heart is just to exhort each one today. Take a look. Where are we at? How are we doing in our lives? John talked about Jesus being the door, and he's the gate. He's the straight gate. He's the way. He's the way to enter into the narrow way. And after that, it's a holy life, living in the narrow way. Hebrews 4:7-11. Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So it's talking about a rest there, and we can have that rest if we enter in the straight gate. We will not have that rest. It says, let us labor. It takes labor and travail to enter into that rest. But we will not have that rest if we don't enter in at the straight gate and engage ourselves in the kingdom of God. But there is a rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's what God gives us that. What a blessing. Some verses that are always beautiful to me that I really appreciate. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a blessing those words are to us. And we do that. The Bible is very clear that we must enter in at the straight gate to receive eternal life. And we must endure to the end. My friend, eternity is forever. Please choose to enter in at the straight gate. You don't know if you will have another opportunity. Death is final. Eternity is real. God deserves your life. Give Him your all. For those who haven't entered the straight gate, B, have you counted the cost of entering the straight gate? It costs everything. Have you counted that cost? I would say before you make the decision to enter in at the straight gate, make sure you count the cost. I'd like to look at Matthew 16, 24 through 26. It says, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So what is your soul worth to you today? What is it? What else do you want to give in exchange for your soul? Is there anything this world has to offer? Is there anything that's worth, anything else that's worth more than your soul to you? What are you giving in exchange for your soul today? Is there something that's holding you back? What is in your heart? Where is your treasure? Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We must fully surrender to God. Are you willing to go all the way with God? C, have you counted the cost of not entering the straight gate? Do you know where that's going to lead you if you don't enter the straight gate? Is that where you want to go? Matthew 10, 32 through 33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess also before My Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father which is in heaven." And that's our fate if we're not willing to confess our Heavenly Father. That's He will also not confess us. He will not confess us. We will be denied. Is that where we want to go? Do we want Jesus to deny us before the Father? There's a cost with not going down the straight, taking the straight gate and the narrow path. There's a cost that comes with that. Do we know what that is? I don't think we want to go down that way. If we don't enter in at the straight gate, then we cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself." There it is again, that if we deny Him, He also will deny us. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Do we deny Him by the way we live? Is that denying Him? How are we doing today? Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them, unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So it's talking, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I'd just like to give the call this morning that God has offered a great salvation for each one. And how shall we escape if we neglect that? Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There is no peace, there is no joy, there is no satisfaction, there is no... That's what comes with the broad way. There's so many, the list goes on, and the devil would like to help make us think that's, he would like to try to make it as appealing to us as he can, but there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no fulfillment. There's just a whole list of things that go with that way. So I'd like to talk about the narrow way. Two is the narrow way. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It seems like the narrow way will keep getting narrower and narrower as you journey. How are we doing? Are we laying aside every weight as we go? As God reveals the weights to us, those of us that are in the narrow way, how are we doing? Where are we at? Are we willing to continue to lay aside every weight? Are we willing to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Are we running with patience the race? Are we willing to allow God to refine us as we go? The way it seems it gets narrower. How are we doing? Narrow, small in width, not wide. Limited in meaning, size, amount, etc. Limited in outlook, not liberal. With limited margin, a narrow escape. To decrease or limit in width. To decrease and as you go. I picture just the way, the narrow way, something that just continues to get smaller as you go. And you continue to lay aside more and more weights. God continues to refine you as you go. It's straight. Look, point A, is the way narrow for you, or have you broadened it? How is the way for you? How are we doing? Are we trying to broaden the way? Are we trying to make the way a little easier for us? How are we doing? May God help us. B, what all are you trying to take with you on the narrow way? We must lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I think that's a good check for us to think about that. Where is my treasure? Is it upon this earth, upon things of this earth? The Bible says to not lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven. And where is our treasure? That's where our heart will be. May God help us. C. Are you willing to endure the chastening of the Lord? Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So I'd like to encourage us in those words. God loves us, and so He chastens us. May we allow that chastening in our lives. I'd just like to remind us about the chastening of the Lord, and He does it for our profit. May we allow Him to do that in our lives. Are you growing cold? D. Are you growing cold or drawing back from the narrow way? Hebrews 10, 22 through 25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. There again, that's my heart this morning, to exhort one another, because the day is approaching. The day is approaching, near and near. May we be ready. Let's hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:38-39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Praise the Lord. Let's be the ones that believe to the saving of the soul. What a blessing. James 4, 8 through 10. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. We have that promise today, that if we draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. To cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. May we do that today. We have the opportunity today, while it is today yet, while God gives us breath, life and breath and health, we have that opportunity, but that we don't know how long that'll last. May God help us. Revelation 3:14 through 22. This is going in the line of, are you growing cold or drawing back from the narrow way? How are you doing? Revelation chapter 3:14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So how are we doing? Are we lukewarm this morning? Where is the fire? Where is the zeal? Are we lukewarm? Are we growing cold? Is the enemy getting a hold in our lives? And then verse 19 talks about chastening again. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. May we allow God to do that chastening in our lives. It's for our good. And then we have the promise, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Praise the Lord. We have a beautiful promise. So let's endure to the end. My heart this morning is that we would endure to the end, that we would be overcomers, that we would, if you haven't entered into the narrow way, if you haven't entered into the straight gate, the door which is Jesus Christ, He's the shepherd, He's the good shepherd. If we have not entered into that way, I urge you this morning to enter. And if you are in the way, I would just have a question for you. How are you doing in that way? How are we doing? Jesus says the way is narrow. Is that how it is for us? Are we laying aside every weight? Are we trying to broaden it? Are we willing to endure chastening? Or are we growing cold and drawing back? I'd just like to read this song yet, and then I'll take my seat. It says, two ways, O man, are there for thee. There are two destinations. Upon the path to heaven we bear the cross and tribulations. The other path with joy abounds, and yet no inward peace is found. It leads thee to destruction. Eternity is drawing near. O seek your soul's salvation. Upon the narrow path of life, there's mercy and protection. Eternal is the great reward. If on the pathway of the Lord, you fear not the afflictions. If thou wouldst own the gift of grace and heaven's joy inherit, then walk by faith before His face, led by the Lord's own Spirit. Thou must with Christ be crucified, and all thy sins and all thy pride upon His cross must perish. In true repentance die to sin, in Jesus' name believing, baptized into His death with Him, full pardon be receiving. Who dies with Christ will with Him rise, a new life's way before Him lies, the road of life with Jesus. Thank you for listening. God bless you.